everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! Oh my God, it's episode 48. I took a week off. Did you guys have fun on the 4th? I had tons of fun. Lots of fireworks. Took the boat out. Yeah, no one was injured. No one was harmed in the lighting off of. I'll never forget when I first went to California from the Midwest, and it was the 4th of July, and I'm like, "Well, where do we buy fireworks?" And somebody goes, "Oh, they're illegal here." And I'm like, "What kind of communist bullshit is this?" I didn't understand that the whole state could be set on fire at any moment. And I'm like, "Well, note to self, life goal: I want to live in a state where fireworks are legal." Okay. Yeah, I know. But then that's a touchy subject, too, because people with dogs get very upset about it. And I read everything online about all that. So that's a whole nother argument people could have. But you know what? We're not here to argue, are we, termites? Well, today I'm going to argue a little bit with Kirstie Alley. Oh, God. Well, not in real life. It's just she put out a tweet. I try to ignore it. It was trending. I don't follow her. I don't care. And you know what? This is where the right, the super right, like the Tucker Carlson's always say, you know, LeBron James needs to bounce the ball and shut up, or so-and-so comedian needs to tell jokes and shut up. But when their side does it, they have him on as guests. They don't even care. Point is, I don't care if anybody does it. If Kirstie Alley wants to spout out dumb shit on a daily basis, it doesn't mean I won't watch her in a movie. She's still funny. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody just needs to relax on who believes in what, who, as far as what their job is. Who cares? Everybody's allowed to have an opinion. And if Kirstie Alley's is wackadoodle, I just want to point it out how I think it's wackadoodle. Doesn't mean if they had a Cheers remake, I wouldn't be watching. Because it would. Fire. Whoops. Fire. Fire.
There it is.
First of all, once again, a shout out to the, I think it was a woman that sent me the Bucky's glass. This thing gives me pleasure every day of my life. When I pour in the Bucky's glass. I don't know why.
Crazy.
It's just so stupid. It's just a happy beaver with a baseball hat on. Speaking of which, you guys sent a lot of very cool stuff. And it's a little backed up. So if I'm not shouting you out, it's because it's backed up a little bit because of the 4th and all that. But somebody got me the Theranos mug, if you're not watching.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you who did that. Love it. This is if Court TV was still, well, maybe it is on. I don't know. I would watch every day of this trial, especially if she has to testify. I want to watch her wiggle it with it. To Kathleen from Termite Jane, please come back to North Carolina. Absolutely. That's where I got that bull from, the Durham there. I can hook you up with the best vinegar-based barbecue. That's what I'm talking about.
Boom.
Somebody, yeah, it's my favorite. I know I'm from Missouri. I'm supposed to like Kansas City and St. Louis barbecue the best, but I don't. I like the vinegar-based, and then I'll go second place to St. Louis and Kansas City versus Texas. Love you, Texas. Third place, though. And if I'm in Texas, wonderful treat.
Yeah, but you like Tex-Mex better. Yeah. Tex-Mex.
No, I like... No, I don't like Tex-Mex better. No, I like straight-ass Texas barbecue. Nothing to get. If I'm going to eat Mexican food, I'm going to eat Mexican food. And I love Mexican food. Ninfa's in Houston. But I don't need my Tex and my Mex in my same bowl. I want my Mexican in this bowl, and I want my Texas barbecue in this bowl. These, and you got one too, Paddles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Somebody in Boston said that the Wicked Smart Hat, one size fits all. Well, that's not so smart, but it does fit. It's got the thing. It's from Chatterheads. Chatterheads. Genuine. This is from Charlotte. I won't say her last name, but very Irish. Here you go, Paddles. You get one too. There you go. And I got mine, too. Thank you. I love them. I will definitely be sporting that on the boat. Let's just put this down below me. This one that got sent a while back, too, and I didn't forget, but I just have it in the office. And then I put a bunch of shit away because all the kids were coming over. This one's funny. So looking forward to your Chicago show. Here's Colton Wong rookie card plus a pint glass of Mr. Samoji. I don't really know what that is. Hope you and Paddles keep doing it while you're on the road. And then it's Terry, I think, from Illinois. But I got both. And you know what? Can I just prove that maybe I'm right a little bit. Here's Colton Wong as a cardinal. And I love these, by the way. And the Cardinals are 9.5 games out of first place. I have their t-shirt on in support, moral support. But guess who plays for the Milwaukee Brewers now? Colton. Guess what place the Brewers are in? First. Coincidence? I don't think so. No. Sure. Are there other pieces of the puzzle that should be included in that, you know, victory or non-victory? Absolutely. But I don't think it's any...
We got to talk about the glass.
Well, the glass, I don't really understand.
Hey, I got it.
Oh, you know what this is? Okay, there's a tennis ball with it on it, too.
Uh-huh.
What is this?
It's
a great tennis ball.
There's a guy named Sam.
He has
Down syndrome.
From Wheaton, Illinois.
Due to hearing loss, he's become a keen observer of people's facial and body expressions.
Movements?
Expressions?
Yeah, okay. And this is what he's created.
Yeah, he's got this guy.
So
this is you.
He created this? Oh, he thinks this is me?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I agree.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like the glass, too.
Good job, Sam.
Yeah. Way to go, Sam. So that was that. And thank you for the Colton Wong cards. And I'm just going to leave them right here, probably for a very long time. Yeah. Maybe I'll put them in front of Fredbird. I'm running out of room with my stuff.
Can you have the ball? Yeah.
Yes. You want the tennis ball?
Yeah, come on.
All right.
Great.
Whoa, shit.
Wow.
Well, sorry. That's not my fault.
Terrible.
It's totally my fault.
That's
totally.
Fault. That's
somebody sent me Dorito bag earrings. These are the cutest things ever. And I don't even know where you get this, but this is from Evansville. Elise? I can't. Oh, that's an email address. Oh, sorry. Well, I didn't say the whole thing. Lisa. Okay, it is for Lisa. Wow, these are hilarious. I'm wearing these on stage. Maybe in Reno. Why not? Hello, Reno. How you doing? I like it. They're little snack packages. It's hilarious. Look, I know some of you guys can't. They're tiny bags of Doritos on silver, and I don't really wear gold ever. How adorable is that, right? So, yeah,
I love
these. And you gave me some extra ones, so I'll give two pairs to my twin nieces, and they'll be super fired up. Paddles, I have enough. I have one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, I even have one extra that I'll keep for myself because I know I'll lose some on the road. Okay. What? Well, I can't keep going. I'm putting these down. Somebody, this made me laugh hard. Let's put this away. This is the Theranos thing, I think. Somebody sent me a Ron White doll. it is fucking horrifying.
That's great.
The only thing they got right was his eyes. He does have really blue eyes. I've been a huge fan of yours. We saw this gem the other day. Thought you might want it for your Ron White doll collection. It was a whooping 50 cents. Probably because the speaker doesn't work anymore. I could have gotten... Lanny doll? Oh, a Larry doll, free with it. Well, I love the buckets. So this is from Tracy. And it's supposed to say something, probably like, I don't know what it was supposed to say, but talking clip, one, six phrases it had at the time.
Whoa.
That, I mean, it looks like, I don't even know, but it made me laugh. And I might, no, I'm going to keep it as, and I'm going to make it a Christmas ornament. Why not?
What do you think he would say?
Ron probably doesn't even know they exist. Ron's not hyper aware of those kind of things.
What do you think the doll would say?
Oh, out of all of it, they call me Tater Salad. I had the right to remain silent. I did not have the ability. It would be those kind of things, I'm sure. So let's move on from all that. Thank you, Termites. I got everything. Now, what are we eating? Well, what are we drinking first? Well, I forgot my wacky beer. This is just my normal beer. This is just a regular old beer. Usually I like to try to show off a beer that I've picked up on the road somewhere. Meanwhile, I'm going to open the Taco Bell salsa. I really have done the work of the Lord this week, you guys. I have spent money and I'm going to save you one big trip, that's for sure. Taco Bell medium salsa. Now, the kids already got into this. It's great. It's great. Me being better with a chip, I was a cracker.
It's your Palmetto Espresso Porter.
Palmetto Espresso Porter.
Can you catch it,
sir? I can catch it. Whoops. Nice. Oh, my God. Espresso Porter. I don't think I'm going to open this right now, but I'm going to let people know I have it because I sound like a kid that's bragging. You know what I have? Here's what I have. This is Palmetto Brewing Company. I like everything they do, really. And an espresso porter, I would be interested to taste, but not after we just shook it up like that.
I'm tasting it right now. It's what's in your glass.
That's what's in here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I love it. That's great. I probably will be up for 7 days. Now you really sound like an old person. I love it when my parents will go, we can't have coffee after two. What? We'll be up for days. Oh, my God. You need to be up. Get up. So the Taco Bell medium thick and chunky salsa, highly recommend. But when do I not love Taco Bell? Well, I didn't like their chicken thing. That was terrible. Stay in your lane. This I bought as, again, the work of the Lord. Because I couldn't believe they make it. Kit Kat. Who doesn't love a Kit Kat? I do. Key lime pie. Here's the thing. I hate key lime pie.
No.
Hate. Detest. However, I'm going to take a bite of this as a mercenary and let you guys know.
Yeah.
It tastes like key lime pie. I'm just saying, if you like key lime pie, you'll probably love this Kit Kat. I don't
like it.
I was weird in restaurants when they get so excited. Tonight, the special is key lime pie. Like it's a rarity. Like we're having caviar or something. And, I don't know. It's not my thing. Now, last thing, food-wise. I went to Burger King. Why? Because I'm here to help you guys. Save you money. I spent the $3 on the they call it the B-King. But the bag says the chicken. Chicken. So maybe the lady wasn't saying booking in the drive-thru. It's Burger King's new spicy chicken sandwich. Totally fried.
Hand-breaded.
It's too fried.
You say everything's too fried.
I don't say everything's too fried. But lately, yeah. Because what's the bag say? Burger King. Stay in your lane. No, I still haven't. I don't remember. I know for sure Kentucky Fried Chicken's was great.
Right.
Because why? Chicken!
And they eat chicken right.
Like, even if I was drunk when I ate this, you'd feel gross afterwards. I don't know. Love you, Burger King. I love their fries, and I love the burgers, but that, no, I don't, I can't do it. Sorry, wanted to, Burger King. I want to support all fast food, because I want to kill Americans as early as possible. Oh, my God. All right, enough of all that nonsense. What is happening? Termites. There's so many updates. It's just fantastic. It's fantastic, but first, I think we should know that Queen Stevie, over. Fire, Stevie, fire.
Don't set her on fire.
I'm not going to set her on fire. It costs $27. Stevie has a new song out with Maroon 5 called Remedy, and I actually really liked it.
I liked it, too.
Yeah. Thank God they've hipped it up a little bit to keep her moving along in the hipster category. And it's a summer song. It was very good. So there's a little update from that. I'm just going to start out with, because I don't usually do celebrity things because I don't really know anything. Like, I don't really know who these people are that you're supposed to know. Let me find her thing. And this is only because it was trending. Matter of fact, I may have even blocked her. Yeah.
Who'd you block?
Kirstie Alley. Because I just don't need to hear shit back. Well, and I did respond. Maybe I did.
Right.
I mute's my favorite because they don't even know what happened and they'll still waste time writing back. So I'm not only am I, she tweeted out, people are becoming so, quote, open-minded that down the road they will support pedophilia as people just loving children. Well, first of all, And then she wrote, "You think I'm kidding? I'm not. It's the direction this insanity is headed." I don't know what insanity she's talking about. But I'm going to tell you this, Kirstie. There's already a group that does that called NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association or something. You go Google it, Paddles. I think what? I'm right. North American.
How do you know this?
NAMBLA? It's been around forever.
But do people know about
Do people know about it? Yeah. NAMBLA. Yeah, they used to try
North
to get...
North American Man Boy Love Association.
How do you
know this?
I don't know. We used to make jokes about it.
Wow, it's located in New York and San Fran.
It's New York and San Francisco. Oh, don't think there's not sleeper cells everywhere. But that's what I'm saying. There's already there are already pedophilias that pedophiles that deem it as just loving children, whatever. Okay, so then she writes, "You think I'm kidding? I'm not. It's the direction this is headed. You can okay boomer me, because I'm sure everybody just writes, you know, what up, you're old. But this is where we will all veer unless we change." Okay. Okay. I don't even know what this is in reference to, and I can't figure it out on her Twitter feed, which I'd never seen until she was trending. But I wrote back, "You want to talk about open-minded? Let's talk about what Kirstie Alley believes. Her leader,
the leader...
No. Well, yes. Scientology and Kirstie's all on board. They believe that Xenu, also called sometimes Zimu, N or a U, was, according to Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard, the dictator of the Galactic Confederacy, who brought billions of his people to Earth, then known as TGIAC, in a DC-8-like spacecraft, 75 million years ago, stacked them around volcanoes and killed them with hydrogen bombs.
Oh my God.
Yes, officials of Scientology scriptures hold that Thetans, immortal souls of these aliens, adhere to some... I stopped there. That's just like the first paragraph on Wikipedia. And I know all about Scientology. I've watched Leah Remini's show. I've seen the movies. Everything... And, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that the story of Christianity isn't a little wackadoodle either. But when she's going to say people are becoming so open-minded, you believe that.
Right.
You want to talk about open-minded. Like, I would have a closed mind as soon as L. Ron Hubbard said that there was a creature called Xenu who was the dictator of the Galactic Confederacy. Stop. Full stop. Hard stop. No. And from a man who said, "You want to make money, create a religion. There's a sucker born every day." Well, there you go. Anyway, that just got into my Twitter feed somehow. And I had to say that if you want to really go down who's open-minded, she's much more open-minded than I am.
Yeah.
If you're willing to believe that from a guy who wrote that in the 50s and 60s, you're way more open than I would ever be, Kirstie. So maybe you should start worrying about whether you're going to think pedophilia is just love.
Sucky.
I'm sure she doesn't listen to this podcast. I just want to say that so other people are aware. Wow, this isn't even really an update. Somebody sent me this on Twitter. And now, and I'm going to the website and I'm buying the t-shirt. For those of you who know, I like it when young people are like, "I didn't even know you were a stand-up comedian." And then they go find stuff online. Yes, that's what I used to do, which I'll be starting to do again next week.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I am excited.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Reno, and then I'm going to Vegas after that, and then I'm going to Atlantic City.
Selbyville.
Oh, Selbyville. Forgot about that. Selbyville, Delaware. And I just keep wanting to say Shelbyville. I know it's not. It's Selbyville.
You're gonna get a nice right. Lobster roll.
I'm going to get a wonderful lobster roll. My friend Kelly McFarland, she's going to come down from Boston and open the show. She's hilarious. So somebody sent me the Tulsa. Oh, so if you don't know anything about my stand-up, I have an extra long bit about noodling.
We'll put it in the show notes.
You can put it in the show notes. It's on Bothering Jesus. And it really was a big deal in Missouri about fighting whether or not it should be legalized. And then I explained to crowds what it is because a lot of people don't know. But anyway, Tulsa Noodlers merch. Yeah.
Wow.
on August 12th through the 15th, the Tulsa Drillers, that's their baseball team, I don't know if that's like AAA or AA, will become the Tulsa Noodlers. Noodling is the sport of fishing for catfish using your bare hand and is hugely popular throughout the entire state of Oklahoma, which is dubbed the unofficial noodling capital of the world. Just say you're official. Go for it, Oklahoma. Right. Who is going to challenge you? You know, hold my beer. You do that. Don't put unofficial. You don't have to. Just say official. The Noodlers will don a dark royal and lime green hat with a custom hashtag bite back catfish logo, dark royal with lime green piping jerseys, and a Noodler script font and lime green pants.
That's cool.
Yeah. The logo helps to represent the fun of noodling while also shows the determination of Oklahomans to always be resilient. Shop here for your noodle gear. Get yours before it's too late. I'm totally buying
the double-A affiliate of the Dodgers.
Double-A affiliate of the Dodgers?
Yeah.
The hated? Bleh. Exactly. I'll root for them, though.
No, you won't.
I will. They're double-A. You got to root for them. They have eight-year-olds out in the outfield heckling them for free shit. I've seen it happen. Noodler's neon t-shirt, $30.
What do you mean you've seen it happen? What happened?
I went to a Nashville Sounds game. And
Milwaukee team.
It's the Baby Brewers. Yep. And Milwaukee Brewers. And I took kids and sat in the outfield. And the center fielder the Charlotte team made the Charlotte Knights. He made a wonderful gesture and threw one of the pre-inning practice balls to one of the kids in the grass outfield area.
No.
And then, yeah, it was so nice of the guy to do it. But now you've started, and now every 10-year-old, including my nephew, thinks they're going to get so then they found out his name. His first name is Blake, and, you know, they're all out in the outfield going, Blake.
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, my God, this guy's life. Like, he hasn't even – not only have you not achieved your dream of being in the big leagues, you are now being heckled by eight-year-olds because you did something nice, and now – and then they grew to be angry. Like, they were like, Blake, my mom said you'd have more balls. Blake. Oh, my God, the guy tried to do something nice, but – yeah, hashtag fail. But just do one every inning, though. But then you got kids running around, too. I thought they were going to kill each other. Update! Oh, my God, I have so many updates. This one, I'm going to pour a little bit of my beer in my Theranos mug for this. Because you know why? It's a Theranos update. Oh! With her criminal trial set to start in 2 months, Theranos Elizabeth, founder Elizabeth Holmes, has lost her bid to block the jury from seeing communications between herself, people, the company, and the law firm of superstar attorney David Boies. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Doesn't matter. Holmes had argued that the communications with the attorneys at Boies, Schiller, Flexner were protected by attorney-client privilege, a legal rule that maintains confidentiality of interactions between clients and their lawyers. Okay, full stop. Don't ever email something you don't want to come back up, ever, to anyone. Say it on the phone. Now, could you be being taped? Maybe. But an email is for sure savable. They had argued that those were protected, a legal rule that maintains confidentiality of interactions between clients and their attorneys. The judge overseeing the case in San Jose ruled that the attorney privilege client did not apply to the 13 documents prosecutors have said they plan to introduce. So, I'm just going to weed through the bullshit here. Oh, now they're considering more legal action. Jesus Christ, I just can't wait till this actually gets started. By the way, this lawyer was one of the several high-profile people who served on Theranos' board. So she's getting her lawyer from the disaster zone. I mean, I don't think that's that smart. There's nothing nefarious in any way about a defendant asserting her rights as with respect to privilege. Yeah, she's trying, but he was also on the board, so come on. You're hiding shit. And the judge ain't going to allow it. So there's really not a whole lot more to that. But she's losing. This is all this pre-trial stuff where they have motions to A, B, C, D, and E. And she's losing a lot of them.
Oh.
It doesn't bode well. I don't know if she's had her kid yet. Update. Oh, my God. Flying car completes 35-minute test between cities. Come on now. Come on. A prototype flying car has completed a test flight between two cities in Slovakia, spending 35 minutes airborne.
What?
Flying car. It made it 35 minutes. Klein's Visions air car flew between Nitra and the capital Bratislava on Monday, according to a press release.
Yeah.
Well, and there is a video of it. It's powered by a 160 horsepower BMW engine and comes equipped with a fixed propeller. It transforms from aircraft to road vehicle in less than 3 minutes. This is Jetson shit. This is what I'm talking about. Congratulations, Slovakia. That's back to my old joke. They were Czechoslovakia, and they went, okay, well, we're splitting up. Okay, you be Czech, I'll be Slovakia. Lazy! I'll be Miss, you be Uri. I'll be Ark, you be Kansas. I went through every single one of those. You be Ha, and I'll be Wai.
I like the Wai.
I'll be the Wai.
It's
now completed more than 40 hours of test flights, according to Klein Vision, including flying at 8,200 feet. I don't need to go that high. No, thank you. And reaching a maximum cruising speed of 118 miles an hour. That might be scary. I don't know. After landing on Monday, the aircraft transformed into a car and was driven into the city center. This is going to start happening in L.A., in New York, Chicago, places where the traffic is batshit. But I don't understand where you land. Like, let's say you're going to fly into L.A. and you're flying taxi. You can't land on the 405. There's no room. You can't. Chicago, you can't land on those highways. You'd have to have, I don't know that. I don't understand that part. It's no longer just a proof concept. I mean, it's great. Somebody's trying. We've turned fiction into reality. The company's working on a model called Air Car Prototype 2, which will boast a 300 horsepower engine. I don't need to go 186 miles. I don't. Not
how fast do you want to go?
186 miles? No.
How fast?
60. I'm not flying to. I'm flying to avoid the traffic if I get in one of these. I don't need to be. Because if we crash at 200 miles an hour, we're probably definitely dead. 60?
Right.
You got a chance.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so shout out to Slovakia. Doing a good job. And in the same realm, this was crazy. Did you guys see this? Hold on, I lost my paperclip. Oh, there it is. There's a jetpack. I'm telling you, it's coming around. It's going to happen, termites, before I'm dead. It's an incredible feeling, said the retired U.S. helicopter pilot. You really do feel as if you can fly. They're really difficult to use, though, to begin with. Jetpacks first thrust into the public consciousness around the world back in 1965. Yes, when I was born. And then by the time I was 10, they promised me this. And then thanks to the James Bond movie Thunderball. I've never seen a James Bond movie. No, not one. Don't care. My brothers have seen them all. I don't, whatever. I don't care. The super spy, played by the late Sean Connery, is gunned down by is chased by gunmen onto the roof of a French chateau, where he straps himself into his jetpack to fly off and escape, blah, blah, blah. While the U.S. military deemed that it was too dangerous to use, it did the trick for the secret agent 007, so that's one. Now, 56 years later, the jetpack technology has advanced considerably, and the equipment is being tested for a variety of specialist uses, such as the rapid deployment of rescue personnel in emergency situations or for defense forces. In a dramatic video last month, it showed a Royal Marine testing out a jetpack. That's what I saw. To assist in maritime boarding. Yeah, it flew onto a ship, from another ship to a ship, like an aircraft carrier to a man in a jetpack.
Okay.
He went up, and then, like,
specifically what it sounded like?
To me, I didn't hear any sound, but that's what it sounded like. They have problematic issues, though, observers point, ranging from safety and environmental concerns. After all, you do have to have a jet engine strapped to your back.
Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be scary.
Yes. And
to regulate. two firms, one in the U.S. and one in the U.K., are now allowing members of the public to try out a jetpack, albeit with the user attached by wires to a large metal frame to prevent them from flying off uncontrollably. Okay, I'd kind of pay to see that. Could this grow in popularity, and will the tethers be removed? I think that this technology will be the first use in special cases before finding a broader use for recreation. I'm thinking of firefighters, medical and rescue personnel, possibly law enforcement. Extensive use of jetpacks in these specialized cases may promote their adoption in other areas such as recreation and personal travel. Yeah. I think it's still too dangerous for Joe and Sally Lunchbox, as my brother likes to refer to me when talking about investing. Yeah. You know, Kathleen, you're a Sally Lunchbox. Fuck off, Pat. Who decided that?
He did.
Well, he's right, because I only buy stocks based on shit I know. Dude, Krispy Kreme Donuts is coming back. Buy a bunch. Update! Allison Mack.
Oh, God.
No, it's the end.
Okay.
Battles? God damn, you don't think I finished a story?
No, I think you
The termites know, and they count. Half the termites count on me to find this shit out, and then the story's over for them, and they don't have to think about it. It's out of their shelf. I'm taking it out of your brain.
So hard.
Allison Mack, she's the lady from the show I never did see, Smallville, that was part of the cult with that Keith, I can never say his last
name. Ranieri,
right. That's the cult I can't say right. NXIVM. It's like somebody threw Scrabble shit out on a board. It's not even a word, but anyway. She is sentenced to 3 years in prison for her role in the sex cult. Oh, my God. A federal judge Wednesday said Smallville actress will have have to serve 3 years in prison for her role in a purported self-help group. Please. The prosecutors say doubled as a secret sex cult. She pleaded guilty in 2019 to various crimes, including extortion and forced labor. She was a high-ranking member of NXIVM, whatever. Let's just call it whatever. The New York, the upstate New York group led by Keith Raniere, he's now serving 120 years, which is great. Psychopath.
Yes.
Based on federal sentence guidelines, she could have faced 14 to 17 and a half years behind bars, though prosecutors said the actress deserves less time because of her cooperation with investigators. Yeah, probably. Depends on what she gave them. She cannot undo what is done. She will have to live with that regret for the rest of her life, but Ms. Max still holds the potential to be valuable to society as a family member, friend, and a helper to those in need as a caution. Well, I would never go to this lady. You blackmail people. I'm not going to trust you. I mean, maybe you can redeem you, but I ain't doing that.
Okay.
I don't really have anything to blackmail you on. Also, she said she understands the physical and emotional pain she inflicted on cult victims. Yeah, because she made them take, she had pictures of them. She threatened people. She was an asshole. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just come join my crazy cult. It was a lot more than that. Yeah, and then she made them sleep. I mean, they are responsible. Like, what are you doing? But not when it comes to the blackmail. Now we've crossed a different line. Now it's not all voluntary. voluntary. Now you're making me do shit with a threat. So, bullshit. She said she's sorry. Smallville, which ran on the WB, and then the CW. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever watched anything on the WB or CW network from 2001 to 2011. Wow. In a long time, she played Chloe Sullivan, the close friend to the young Clark Kent. Huh. I had no idea. I was on the Tonight Show once with a person that was Superman.
What?
Yeah, he was the other guest. Dean.
Kane.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he's not Christopher Reeves, though.
No, he's definitely not Christopher Reeves.
No.
Well, once he got out of Christopher Reeves, now there's just going to be a parade. I think he says dumb things sometimes. I don't know. He was nice enough backstage, but I don't watch Supermans. So, like, I don't know. My friend Bob was so excited. He's like, oh, my God, it's Superman. I'm like, I've never seen any of those either. Oh, here's what I always say to Bob to irritate him. Was he in Jaws? How about Rocky? No? Then I don't know.
No idea.
All right, this is, well, here's a great update. Because I don't give a shit about these people that bought tickets to the Fyre Festival. I can't even remember how long ago I watched both documentaries about the Fyre Festival because they're both great.
During COVID.
It was during COVID, but it might have been before I started this. So if you haven't seen them, there's two documentaries, and they're both worth watching. It's not like they're just doubling up and it's all the same shit. They're not at all. There's some stuff that overlaps, but they're both full, packed full of information. This was this music festival that was supposed to happen, and they had all these videos, and it was basically, I don't know, I would have called it rich kids. If I was someone this age, I would never have had this money. I felt like it was rich kids who were also super not in the cool club, and they thought this would make them be in there. That'll buy their way into the cool club. Like, the video was so ludicrous. Like, if I would have seen the video, I would have been like, yeah, that's bullshit. Like, jet skis with models, and then the music would play at night, and the biggest band they had to promote was Blink 182. I mean, okay. I actually went with my friend Scott to Blink 182 in Los Angeles 100 years ago because Scott loved Blink 182. He was in love with the drummer. And I actually sat in the parents' beer garden, and me and Scott were the same age. We were both like 32. And I said, do you care? I don't. Blink 182 is fine. But the adult beer garden looked really great. And everybody that was like 32 or 42, I could have been 42, I don't know, had kids. They dropped their kids off in the Blink 182 thing. Anyway, I don't think, so the settlement has finally come. You got to go watch those if you haven't seen them. It's unbelievable. Anyway, then when these kids, if they even made it to this island of super cool, it was all bullshit. There was no food. There was no lodging. There was no music. It was just, it fell apart. The guy was a scamster, big con artist. He's a sociopath. In my opinion, Billy McFarlane. He's been convicted. He's in prison. He still doesn't get. He's another one I would just go, no, you can't come out because you do nothing but harm people. Nothing. That's your whole. I call them the vampires. And the vampires need to be put away because they hurt people. He'll do the same fucking thing when he gets out. Nothing will stop that. He doesn't even see what's wrong with what he did. He knows he has to.
You need to stab with a wooden sword.
They were. The ticket holders to the 2017 Fyre Festival fiasco have seen their proposed payout slashed. They're going to receive $281. They all spent like $8,000. Yeah. According to court papers filed, the amount falls short of the April settlement reached in the U.S. federal court, which concluded they could have each have had up to $7,200 returned. Lawyers have struggled to recoup money from the acts and models who promoted the festival that fell apart. Because some of them, now here's the weird thing, and I will say this as a performer. If you book a thing, and if it's a special deal, not just like a regular theater or a club or whatever, a private event or festival, you have to send a deposit to the agency, which is usually half. Right. And then if shit falls apart on your end, I keep the deposit because I can't go get work again for that weekend. Right. So that's what your deposit is doing. If you fuck up. So a lot of these guys that were booked,
maybe, still have to pay the deposit.
Well, they get to keep their deposit. I think by law, that's why we have them. The report of the event reportedly sold about 8,000 tickets with an advertised musical lineup that boasted of top artists, luxury accommodations. They were just tents, shitty tents, mm-hmm. And it was hot, and then it rained, and it's an island. Oh, my God. There's not enough sunblock. I just can't. Some of the VIP packages sold for as much as $12,000. Their attendees arrived to find chaos, no musical acts, little food, and only disaster relief tents to sleep in. It was canceled, the class action lawsuit. The festival's bankruptcy trustee shows that just $1.4 million has been collected in attempts to recoup ticket holders' cash. Obtaining recoveries in this case was extraordinarily difficult and challenging, given the lack of books and records that any physical assets could have been liquidated that were already seized by the federal prosecutors. It's further complicated by the fact that organizer Billy McFarlane is in prison, having been convicted of fraud. He explained that it had been proven tricky to reclaim a lot of the cash paid out to celebrities and influencers. A lot of influencers were in on it, too. I'm not an influencer. So I don't know how they work, but...
I
believe one of the Kardashians was in on it. After subtracting $1.1 million for accountants and legal costs, the 277 ticket holders will have $78,000 to share between them if the proposal is approved by a judge. Band Blink-182, which tweeted it would no longer take part in the event as it got underway, has returned $157,000 out of the $265,000 that had been paid, according to documents. Well,
yeah,
that's more than half. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Following the fallout of the festival, documentaries by rival streaming services Netflix and Hulu have showed what went wrong behind the scenes of the Great Exuma. Ticket holders described it as a lawless atmosphere being housed in emergency tents and their gourmet cheese sandwiches being served in styrofoam boxes. That's not what the video showed.
No.
It showed sushi.
Models.
Yeah. So anyway, those kids, the rich kids, are getting $287. I have a tough time feeling sorry for the people that would believe that video, number one, at over the age of 15, 12, maybe. And then spend them all. Where'd you get that money at that age? Come on now.
They're dot-com kids.
No, a lot of them were from New York. They're not the dot-com kids. They're not the Silicon Valley kids. I don't know what they are. Rich kids.
They're the WeWork people.
WeWork. Yeah, they're probably the WeWork children. The children. The children.
The children.
Okay, this is such a great update. Well,
say it properly.
Update! Well, I have two. Regarding what? My state of Missouri.
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
And this is right by where my mom and dad are right now. They go to Florida, and then they're also here in the Ozarks. A hotspot advisory has been issued for Camden, Miller, and Morgan counties, as well as surrounding area, due to the surge in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. The Delta variant has been identified, many to contribute to the increase. Rises with 38, 41, and 81% respectively in the past week. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more than three times higher in the coming weeks. The vaccination rates, and then they go through all of it. But then they said here, if you haven't been vaccinated, my parents have, and they got Moderna, which is good. Please do these things. Those who choose not to get vaccinated should continue these important steps. Mean 6 feet distance apart, wear a mask. They're not going to wear a mask.
No.
They were the ones who said, fuck the mask.
Or they would have got a vaccine.
Right. You're either kind of doing it or not. Mm-hmm. Avoid others that appear to be sick. That's who they're hanging out with, other unvaccinated people. These statements fall on deaf ears. I don't even avoid others if you have COVID symptoms. Well, my dad went to golf. Him and my mom in couples league.
How are they doing?
Oh, he's getting into fights, as always.
No.
Verbal. Because somebody that they played with, the wife had the Delta variant, and the dude was at golf. And he, you know, my dad spoke.
He's good.
Yeah. Cough or sneeze into your elbow or a tissue.
Oh, come on.
Well, here's the thing. You're talking, these people, no, they're not going to. That's a Missouri update. Just saying, we're a hot spot. I put it on Twitter. It's all over the place. It's totally embarrassing. And the hospitals are getting full. Because when they say, well, it's my choice. Yeah, but your choice affects other people's choices, because my cousin Connie is a nurse. There's people in there that thought this was all done, and now it's not, and it sucks. And then, like, my parents are old. My dad already blew a vein in a leg once, right? Leg aneurysm. Ever heard of it? Neither had I. Yeah. It can happen. Well, say something else happens, and now the hospitals are full. So now you chose not to get a vaccine. You know, it's affecting my life now. Maybe not right now, but it can, because your choice, and it put you in the hospital, and now there's one less bed and it's happening. So rural Missouri, they're all getting shipped off because there's no more room in rural Missouri. So then they get shipped off to Columbia or Kansas City or St. Louis, and then boom, hospital's not available. So it just sucks that it's rearing its head again. But I'm not scared to get on a plane. Uh-uh. I'll do anything to go to Reno. Put that on my tombstone.
Because you want to gamble.
I do want to gamble. This is great. Okay. So you guys all remember the couple from St. Louis that had the guns, mm-hmm. and they, the McCloskeys.
Yep.
And they're both attorneys. She had the hamburger outfit on. Remember? And then, and mustard on their shirts. He's running for Senate now.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, he's going to try.
Oh.
Battles. Everybody gets a chance if
they want. No, they don't. They They don't get a chance.
This is, so they had a rally. But this is, okay, this is my theory too. Donald Trump, and this is a personality-driven thing, not a political-driven thing. Yeah. Donald Trump was already famous before he ran for president from The Apprentice. And his whole life, he's known. Like, everybody knew him. So they want to go see, like, I saw some people being interviewed in Iowa, normal middle American people that were like, we want to go to the rally because we've watched his show so much, we want to see him. It's our TV friend. Like, but nobody else is going to be able to duplicate what Donald did because they don't have the star power initially. Sure. Right. They don't have the TV recognizability. And they're all going to try. I guarantee you, it's like I watched a million young comics try to be Mitch Hedberg. You can't. Mitch was Mitch.
Right.
Your imitations fall flat. So, this is what happened. This is so great because this was written, I must say, by a semi-liberal publication, but it's factual. He does add a few bits of commentary in here that are not quote factual, but I'm going to read them anyway. Yeah. Noted local criminal Mark. Just that he starts with that, not attorney. He starts with noted local criminal, because he was convicted. Mark Maklowski played host to a barbecue political rally on Sunday afternoon, drawing tens of admirers to the sweltering parking lot of a closed outlet mall in St. Louis County to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the time he pulled a gun on a crowd of people who otherwise would have never noticed or cared he existed. Despite the fact that none of the big names who had been billed to speak at the June 27th event showed up, and despite the fact that ticket sales were so dismal, attendance was open to the public for free, St. Louis' most gun-surrendering lawyer plowed right ahead with the first annual Pink Shirt Guy barbecue and rhino roast in the St. Louis Mills parking lot. Grievance and untethered delusion topped the menu, with Maklowski and a roster of speakers largely unknown outside of the far right taking turns condemning everything from critical race theory and to cultural Marxism and to the radical left agenda of Joe Biden. The whole gun and pony show... This guy's funny. Was in service of Maklowski's deeply stupid run for the United States Senate. Because if there's one thing that qualifies a man for public office in 2021 is a willingness to point a firearm at with those whom you politically disagree. Initially, fellow criminal and proponent of armed coups, Michael Flynn was scheduled to speak, but he was subbed out for North Carolina congressman and notable dumb guy Madison Cawthorn, who also did not show up. He didn't even show up. But the show must go on. So they were instead primarily treated to the MC abilities of former radio host Jamie Allman, who lost his job back in 2018 after taking to Twitter to pontificate about ramming a hot poker up a teenager's ass. That's who, none of the speakers showed up, so that's who they went to, this guy. Yeah. Wait, get a load of this, though. The event kicked off around 2 p.m. with a pig roast and a photo op with the Maklowskis, Mark clad in his pink shirt finery, and Patricia sporting the hamburger costume for which she is best known. God, I hope she bought two of those shirts. It probably reeks. Exactly. At least one man brought his rifle for the pair to sign, which of course they did, after which the man could be heard excitingly discussing how much money it was worth now.
What is the matter with people?
But wait, it gets better. After a sound check with a local Deep Purple cover band, Perfect Strangers. Do they not know that Perfect Strangers was a sitcom my friend Mark was in? Mark Lynn Baker, anybody? He was not Balky. He was the other guy. So there's a local Deep Purple cover band in St. Louis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The singer, Terry Luttrell, was the original vocalist of REO Speedwagon before parting ways with its band over its earlier, more politically motivated lyrics. The show kicked off with a singing of the national anthem, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, and then one word of prayer. With all of the hits out of the way, he brought up a parade of speakers of varying infamy. One of whom, who can remember who, walked us all through the Declaration of Independence. Uh-huh. Okay. I won't go through all the thing.
Thank you.
But, okay. I just find it hilarious. McCloskey took to the stage finally after all these dipshits to bask in the adulation of the not even half full seating area of his fans. He insisted gravely that the crowd of people who were walking past his house that fateful day a year ago would have murdered him and his wife and his dog and then burned down their house had he not waddled his ass outside barefoot to threaten them with a rifle, which is pretty confusing seeing how literally none of McCloskey's neighbors did the same. And yet they all came out unscathed. It also doesn't fit with the findings of a special prosecutor, Richard Callahan, who noted in his statement upon McCloskey's guilty plea that the protesters, on the other hand, were a racially mixed and peaceful group, including women and children, who simply made a wrong turn on their way to protest in front of the mayor's house, noting further that absolutely no evidence was ever found that any of the protesters were armed or intent on harming the couple. But this is how he ended it up.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's great. He ended the speech by bringing his wife up on stage with the two of them posed with a gun. One, yeah. As it wrapped up, everyone was directed to the merch tent.
Come on.
The McCloskeys were selling bottles of barbecue sauce for $20 a pop. What a strange merch item. Is it their own, or was it like a really good St. Louis one, or maybe one from Kansas City? Maybe they were selling Gates Barbecue with the crowd thoroughly cleared out and a storm rolling in. Perfect strangers, that's the government, took to the stage and started serving up deep purple cuts for the enjoyment of about the 10 people left. 10! Lightning cracked in the sky during the classic soundtrack Stormbringer, adding a bit of fun of synchronicity, if also a sense of foreboding. Equally synchronized and foreboding was one of the lines from the 1974 track delivered as it was at the McCloskey-led event. He's got nothing you need.
Come on. Wow.
Well, you always wonder, you know, okay, you're going to run for Senate. And literally, you know, he got like 22 people. But here's the thing. I don't know how you're going to get people in St. Louis in the dead of the heat at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Terrible timing. I mean, he died. He didn't know how to plan something. It's too hot. Too goddamn hot. Update. I know this is very strange because I don't usually do sports because people get crazy about sports, first of all.
Right.
Nutty. I don't ever tweet about sports because people just get, it's worse than politics. People have no idea, especially as a woman. Because, like, if I just tweet, go Cardinals, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's my team. Fuck you, bitch. You don't know anything about baseball. Whoa. First, they attack you for being a woman speaking about sports.
Right.
And then they attack what you said. But first, you got to go through that thing. I shouldn't be talking. So, you know what? They've effectively silenced me, and I'm fine with that.
Oh, my God, no.
No, I don't care enough to argue. I'm a walk-awayer. I don't care enough to get into it. The Cardinals are terrible.
They need you.
They do. Well, I'm watching. I pay for the MLB package. I'm going to open this beer, too. This is just a sports strange thing.
Are you done with your espresso
order? Well, it keep me up all night. No, it won't.
Angel
Cabrera, the golfer I was telling you guys about, he was sentenced to 2 years in prison.
Yeah.
What are we going to do at the Passmasters dinner? Leave an empty chair. With a picture of Angel.
Yeah.
Here's a weird thing. I think I said this on the last podcast. I really like the guy. You think you know a person.
Right.
Like, how would I know the guy? I just liked him.
Because
he was different. He was he's from Argentina. And he was really friendly, at least when the cameras came on. Obviously, I don't know the man. But it's kind of shocking. Like, there's a few out there right now. A few golfers that if you told me they did this shit, I'd go, well, I could see it. I didn't see it. Well, he drank his red wine, smoked a few cigs. He didn't really care. Angel Cabrera was sentenced Wednesday to 2 years in prison on charges he assaulted his former partner. A court in the province of Cordoba, Argentina, convicted Cabrera of assaulting, threatening, harassing Cecilia Torres Mana, who was Cabrera's partner between 2016 and 2018. In the trial, Cabrera denied any wrongdoing. He will serve the sentence immediately. Cabrera, 51, was arrested in Rio de Janeiro on January on charges of assault, theft, illegal intimidation, and repeated disrespect to authorities. He'd been on Interpol's red code list, which was used To seek the location and arrest of a person wanted by legal jurisdiction or an international tribunal with a view to his or her extradition. He'd been on the run from an Argentine case involving assault claims by and another lady too. Yeah, he did crazy things. Assault. I think he tried to run over one with his car.
What?
Yeah, I
what
think.
What's the matter with him?
I don't know. Maybe he drinks a lot of red wine and then just no. I mean, none of it's okay. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's shocking. And it's sad. I mean, it's not sad if these ladies were really, if all this really happened, and clearly they've decided that he should definitely go to jail. Mm-hmm. But I just, you can't picture a golfer.
No.
There's not even roids involved.
No.
It's not like he has roid rage. No. He was a big dude. This is great news. We're on to news. This is great news because I think this is how the world should be run. Partially.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. I think people work too hard in general.
Okay.
I do. I got a real job after college and they were like, you know, it's 5 days a week, whatever, 8 to 5 and 2 weeks vacation. I was like,
No.
I did it because I had to, but I thought this can't be my life. Like, I just don't think we give people enough time off. Well, a 4 day week was an overwhelming success in Iceland.
Agreed.
They did a giant, a long one too.
Good.
Trials of a 4 day week, 4 day work week in Iceland were an overwhelming success and it led many workers to move to shorter hours. The trials in which workers were paid the same amount for shorter hours took place between 2015 and 2019. So for 4 years they ran this experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Productivity remained the same or improved in the majority of the workplaces, researchers said. A number of other trials are now being run across the world, including Spain and by Unilever in New Zealand. In Iceland, trials run by the Reykjavik City Council and the national government eventually included more than 2,500 workers which amounts up to 1% of Iceland's working population. It's 1%. They don't have many people. A range of workplaces took part, including preschools, offices, social service providers, and hospitals. The trials led unions to renegotiate working patterns, and now 86% of Ireland's workforce has either moved to a shorter hours for the same pay or will gain the right to. Great!
That's great.
Everybody would be happier if they worked less. Not the workaholics. They're the ones, in my opinion, who ruin it for all of us. There is some asshole who gets there earlier than you're supposed to. Well, I was here at 10:45. Fuck. Stop it. Stop it.
No.
I just want to get a little extra work done.
No.
I know. But this is fine. Then let the workaholic people, you can come in on Friday, but we're not. You all want,
you get extra credit.
But you're not getting paid, right. And you're not getting extra credit.
Right.
No. Because you're going to tip the scales again, balanced in the way of burnout, heart attack. I just made that up.
That
causes heart attack. Well, it probably does. Stress. The study shows that the world's largest ever trial of a shorter work week in the public sector was by all measures an overwhelming success. It shows that the public sector is ripe for being a pioneer of shorter work weeks and lessons can be learned from other governments. The Icelandic shorter work week journey tells us it's not only possible to work less in modern times, but the progressive change is possible too. Spain is piloting a 4 day work week for companies in part due to the challenge of the coronavirus. As consumer goods giants Unilever is giving its staff in New Zealand a chance to cut their hours by 20% without hurting their pay in a new trial they're running.
That's great.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
you only are here once. You really want to be working all the time. I mean, I do understand there are workaholics. I don't understand them, but I am aware they're here and I believe that they really like that. Fine. You all can get up at fucking 4 o'clock and jog around the neighborhood.
Oh.
And they get up early. They exercise first. I'm like, what?
You just sound like a comedian.
No, seriously. Like, yeah, I've seen them running around when I have to go to the airport. They're jogging around the neighborhood. I'm like, oh.
When do you exercise?
Later in the day. I exercise I go get lunch and then I take a nap and then I do it before a show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I have to stay up a lot later
than
the guy running around the neighborhood, I'll bet you. Okay. Termites. And I hope I'm not offending any of you. But if I am on this subject, I don't care. How about that? I just threw a hammer down. I have a snake segment right now.
Oh, no.
It's fucking out of hand. I'm so tired of illegal animals being legal or super dangerous killer animals being legal. If I was the president, this is a wacky thing to run on. Ready? Here's my platform. Uh-huh. No more chimps. No.
Not. Monkeys.
And I love chimps. I liked Travis the chimp, the one that went crazy, until it goes crazy. It's too dangerous.
Too much.
No cobras. I'd have a whole goddamn list. They cannot be privately owned. I don't understand why it's okay, especially for people who live amongst other people. Three incidents this week.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
During a three-day sojourn on the streets of Northwest Raleigh, North Carolina. Beautiful.
Yeah,
Raleigh.
Raleigh.
I love it there. A dangerous venom-spitting cobra sunned itself on porches and frightened the people who crossed its path as officials struggled to locate and trap the escaped pet. No. If I'm the president, no.
Wow. No.
First of all, too, it's a zebra cobra. And I'm fascinated by snakes. I don't want one. And I don't ever want to really be. I like to look at them, but I don't want to be near them. But this is a cobra. I didn't even know they had striped ones. It's striped. Paddles will show you a picture in the show notes.
Show notes.
The animal had slithered away from a nearby home where its owner, 21-year-old Christopher Gifford, keeps dozens of reptiles, including several species of venomous snakes that he shows off on his social media accounts. You're 21 in the basement of your parents' home with fucking cobras. No. 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 Because this is what happens. They do get out. And wait till you hear what happened. On Monday, a concerned citizen called 911 after spotting the unusual black and white striped snake on a porch in Raleigh, Northwest Raleigh. It actually looks like a python, the caller said.
Oh, no.
This sounds crazy, but it looks like a python from Australia.
They know that.
That's what this lady decided. Well, I've seen a shitload of pythons, and I've never seen them striped like this. This is black and white striped. It really does look like a zebra. But good for this lady, or I'm assuming it was a woman. I don't know why. It's the way she said it. It could have been a dude. The elusive reptile was neither a python nor from Australia. Instead, the escaped artist turned out to be a type of spitting cobra native to Africa. With photos and video of the snake, police identified this species as Naja nigrincia. I don't know. Whatever. Commonly known as a zebra cobra, which could be found in parts of Namibia and Angola. Raleigh officials, including members of the police department and animal control, launched a tense search for the snake, warning the public that it was still on the loose and it could spit and bite if cornered. The snake's painful venom, which it can spit from up to 9 feet.
Come on.
It can cause swelling, blistering, and tissue damage. For three days, the snake wound its way along Sandringham Drive, they spit in your face. A spitting cobra? Have you never heard of that?
No.
Oh, paddles.
I'm Googling it. This is ridiculous.
Spitting cobras, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yes, they can all bite, but they can spit along with, and some of them, you'll be blinded forever. I mean, there's no one doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's extremely dangerous.
Yeah. Okay.
And if it bit you, you're definitely probably going to die.
That's crazy.
It was sunbathing and hiding in the shadows around houses. I mean, I wouldn't have left my house. The serpent caused quite a spectacle in the North Carolina city, earning its own fan-made Twitter account and merchandise. It had its own merch, proclaiming it Raleigh's famous cobra. On Wednesday, Judith Ratana, a journalist working for WNCN in Raleigh, came face-to-face with the animal. Both appeared to suffer a shock. "I made eye contact with the snake," she said. "The snake reared back, lifting its head as if ready to spit or bite." She quickly retreated and flagged down a nearby police officer, but by the time animal control showed up, the snake was already gone and was hidden again. It was definitely too up close and personal. I'm still nervous about it.
You should be.
The reptile, this is what this guy is doing, was one of Gifford's many exotic pets, which include dozens of snakes and lizards that he kept in the basement of the Raleigh home he shares with his parents. On TikTok, he shares videos of venomous snakes eating rodents and rearing them back to stripe with sharp fangs. He said he, this guy, himself, was bitten by a West African green mamba. I know the black mamba, and I've heard of a green mamba. I didn't know it was West African. While cleaning the enclosures in his home, he said he was moving the snake to a temporary holding container. No. When the animal wrapped around the door of its enclosure, making it awkward to handle, in a split second, he used the door as a springboard to fly upwards and backwards over his body and the door and then tagged my hand on the left. He immediately secured the snake and then went to the emergency room where he was given anti-venom and recovered from the bite. In all honesty, I shouldn't have lived. I thank God that I'm here today. North Carolina allows residents to own venomous snakes without a permit. Come on.
Problem.
As long as they keep the animals, quote, in escape-proof and bite-proof enclosures with locks.
Well, who decides that?
Right. Nobody. And I know people go, well, if you make something illegal, then there's a black market. Fine.
Right.
Fine.
Make it hard.
The 3-day search for the escape finally ended when officials managed to catch the animal using glue traps. No idea. Is that like fly tape? Do you remember fly tape? Maybe it's like fly tape, except yeah. I bet it is. I bet they put glue traps all along the ground, and then it gets stuck. The zebra cobra is safely contained and being cared for in an appropriate facility. Oh, my God. Jeff Davis, who helped catch the elusive snake, said the rescue was a team effort by the police, animal control, and emergency medical services. They haven't said where the cobra ended up, but they assured the public it was safe and still alive. I don't care. I need to know, is it going back to that house? To the guy who can't seem to contain it? Okay, you don't think? Two more pythons? This is what I'm telling you. This is short and sweet. A man in Austria was bitten by a 5.5-foot-long python during early morning visit to the toilet.
What?
At his house.
Wait, what?
The reptile, which apparently escaped from a neighbor's apartment, may have slithered through the drains and it was clean. I saw a movie where this happened. Somebody went in to use the bathroom, and they were going to sit down on the toilet, and you just saw this thing go. Now I always think that, and I always check the toilet, and I really think it on Johnny on the Spot.
You always think about it when you go to the bathroom?
Yes. I always look at the toilet before I use it. Because there could be a snake in there. It happens.
It absolutely could. You're right.
It could. The reptile, which apparently escaped from the 65-year-old victim, felt a tiny nip in his genital area after sitting on the toilet in his home after just 6 a.m., he then looked into the toilet to discover the albino python. The snake apparently had escaped unnoticed, from the apartment of the man's 24-year-old neighbor. No, I don't want to live next to somebody with a goddamn python.
No.
Because they get out. The snake apparently escaped, a reptile. Yeah, the victim only sustained minor injuries. Speaking of
his genitals.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I
think it bit his balls.
Wow.
It nipped at him. Just a little tickle. As Lou would
say. Tickled his balls. Oh, boy.
And it ain't over. No. This is a segment I don't usually have a snake gone loose segment, but so many things happened. A 12-foot Burmese python has been loose in a Louisiana mall store for days. 4 days, not four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four. F-O-R.
Oh,
it's still loose.
Wow.
Search teams in Baton Rouge are rolling snake eyes when it comes to finding Kara, a large banana yellow Burmese python that slithered out of our exhibit in the Blue Zoo Aquarium in the Mall of Louisiana on Monday night. You know, it's been a very long time since I've been to Baton Rouge. I do not remember the Mall of Louisiana, but I'm not really a mall goer per se. I guess they have an aquarium in their mall. The mall, home to more than 140 stores, closed briefly, Tuesday morning after Kara was discovered missing, according to CNN affiliate WAFB. But Blue Zoo staff helped shed the mall's concern, confident that the 12-foot-long python was hidden somewhere in the store. Only the aquarium store remains closed as of Wednesday. Well, guess what I'm not doing? Going in this mall.
Right.
How do you know it's still in the store?
They don't know.
Oh, God. One of the biggest concerns is that she slipped up there in between a wall. And they can do that, and they can climb walls because we have a pump house out at the farm where the water pump is, and there's a giant black snake, and I've seen it climb the wall, and it lives in the wall. And then it comes out in the spring and scares my dad half to death, and then it just lays on the windowsill of the pump house.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's not my bag of tricks either. Our biggest concerns is that she's up there in between a wall and can't come back out. Well, they can get back out if they got down there. The one in our pump house does it every spring. We're not going to try to treat this any different than if a child was missing. It's super important to us that we keep up the effort. Bernese pythons are non-venomous snakes that to kill prey like mammals and they by constricting them, but they have a low risk of attacking humans. But they can bite. You want to get bitten by something this large? Oh, God. She escaped out of her tank through brute force, bending through a corner of it.
Well, then they need to get it.
They have brought in multiple snake trackers, and experts have been brought to help for the search. The aquarium has purchased night vision cameras and motion sensors, which local plumbing and HVAC companies have snaked into all into all possible openings of small areas. They were mostly concerned about the snake safety. We have evidence of Kara moving within our ceiling space, which has many places for her to hide.
Oh, God.
Yep. I'm just saying, guys. You know who's really good at handling things? The zoo.
Right.
They're really good at it.
Right.
Experts. My friend Kevin, a vet, sometimes seen on Animal Planet. He's a vet in Denver, and he does work out of the zoo sometimes because he's a wonderful human being. I would trust Kevin. Yeah. Yes, Kevin, you can have all the illegal things you want, but
wow.
In other news,
oh,
now I'm going to get so deep, do a deep dive into this. Asia's El Chapo set to be extradited to Australia.
El Chapo.
Know his name. I don't know how to pronounce T-S-E.
Say.
Say? Sechilop. That's his name.
Sechilop.
An alleged drug lord. I can't believe it. There's another El Chapo, except he's Asian. Fascinating.
And he's good.
I'm going to see if there's any documentaries about this guy. An alleged drug lord operating across Asia who's been compared to the notorious Mexican kingpin El Chapo is said to be handed over to by the Netherlands to Australia. Sechilop, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, is accused of heading up a multi-billion dollar drug operations spanning several countries into the Asia Pacific, from Japan to New Zealand. A Dutch court has approved the request for him to be extradited after his arrest in January. His lawyer said, Mr. Say, a Chinese-born Canadian, is suspected of leading one of the world's biggest drug syndicates. He is said to have led the company, that's quote titled, which dominates a $70 billion illegal drugs market across Asia. Australian police believe the company, also known as Sam Gore Syndicate, moved huge quantities of illicit substances, including meth, ketamine, and other drugs, hidden in packs of tea. Suspecting the group is responsible for about 70% of the illegal drugs entering Australia. The scale of the alleged drug enterprise is the reason 56-year-old Mr. Say has been compared to the Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Australian police had been hunting him for more than a decade. They now wanted him to face trial in Australia. He denies he's a kingpin and claims his arrest was effectively set up by Australian authorities, alleging they illegally arranged for his expulsion from Taiwan to Canada to include a stop in the Netherlands so he could be arrested there. Well, why you shouldn't have got on the plane if you knew that. I'm going to D.C. from St. Louis to D.C. Why is there a weird stop in Milwaukee? Duh. His lawyer says he will lodge an appeal against the extradition decision, taking the case to the Supreme Court. The Dutch government will make a final decision on whether to hand him over to Australia. We will follow this, termites. We will follow Sechilop. He's being held in a high security perimeter. He's rumored to have been moved between Macau, Hong Kong, and Taiwan in recent years. That's where he's been hanging out. Macau. I've been to Macau. I've been to Hong Kong. I've not been to Taiwan.
Macau's interesting.
Yeah. He previously spent 9 years in prison in the U.S. after being arrested on drug trafficking in the U.S. in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, there you have it. I want to tell you right now two fun things. Okay. Two fun things before we go. And then I'll save these for next week. 112 year old Puerto Rican man becomes the world's oldest living man. Now, I believe on this podcast, I've told you that there were older people. Right. I think the lady in Japan, wasn't she, was going to carry...
The torch lady.
I'm not sure. But I know I've reported on people older than 112.
He's a man.
I think the difference is this is according to the Guinness World Book of Records. So you probably have to have a super bunch of proof versus just somebody going, yeah, that old lady's been here about 120 years, you know?
And 3 days.
Emilio Flores Marquez from Puerto Rico. He's in Puerto Rico, home of who? Chichi Rodriguez, one of my favorite golfers.
Who else?
Oh, Conchi Gonzalez, one of my Twitter followers, who sometimes, if I have a funny tweet, she'll retweet it in Spanish, which I totally appreciate because I'd like to build that market.
Yeah.
Help my fan base. You know?
She's brilliant.
Yeah, she is. And she's a lawyer. Anyway, this guy was born in Carolina, east of the Puerto Rican capital of San Juan in 1908. He's recognized by Guinness and awarded a certificate at his home just a few miles from his birthplace. Asked about his longevity, Marquez, known as Don Emilio to his friends, said the secret to his advanced years lays in compassion. My dad raised me with love and taught me to love everyone. And he told me and my brothers and sisters to do good, to share everything with others. Besides, Christ lives in me. The Guinness Book of World Records quoted him as saying. He was the second oldest of 11 children. And his parents' firstborn son. He worked on the family sugarcane farm and received only 3 years of formal schooling. His wife of 75 years. Way to go. Way to go, Emilio. Andrea Perez de Flores, with whom we had 4 children, died in 2010. The previous oldest living man was Romania's Dumitria Comas of something, who died at the age of 111. Well, I don't know. I guess if we're going to go by the Guinness World Record, the oldest person right now alive is 112 and lives in Puerto Rico. Soon, chomping at his heels, Louis Black's mother, 102, living outside of Baltimore.
Totally.
Louis's like, how long do you think a person can live? I'm like, I saw John McCain's funeral and his mother was there, Lou. Man, 107. And she looked adorable. Sitting in the front pew. Nice little St. John. This is freakish, and I can't wait for you guys to see this thing in the show notes because this is something a little bit more to see. I'm going to tell you about it. Fukushima! What do we know about Fukushima?
No idea.
Come on now, paddles.
Fukushima! I don't know.
The nuclear reactor when the nuclear accident. When
don't look disappointed at me.
I am disappointed. It was a big thing. After the, they don't call them hurricanes. What do they call them?
Tsunamis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A decade after the Fukushima disaster, wild boars have been mating with domestic pigs. I know. Well, in the nuclear wasteland, this is like Chernobyl. There's fucked up species and stuff being creating a new mutant species, DNA researchers have determined.
Okay.
Scientists investigating the effects of Fukushima's nuclear disaster in 2011 on the region's animals report that radiation has no adverse effects on their genetics. Okay. That's fine. However, the area's wild boars bred with domestic pigs that escaped from nearby properties after the farmers had to flee, creating a new hybrid species. The photo of this thing, horrifying. Like, if you saw it, it looks like a werewolf with a pig snout. Yeah, it's super hairy. It's got enormous teeth. I mean, I know wild boars aren't really attractive, but... You just got to see a picture of the thing. I guess you could eat one. They are radioactive, but they don't know how much.
Okay.
But, you know.
Close.
Lou would eat it if I told him it was the only pork available.
Totally.
Lou, that might be radioactive. I don't care. What kind of sauce is on it? Okay. So just go look at that. It freaked me out. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
That's freaking.
The lack of human presence in the area has been linked to the breeding of this new species and many other. So we're creating mutant things in areas that have been abandoned by mankind. Man, women, people, whatever. All right, termites. It was a good week catching up. I have a few things to save. I'm going to tease you. Dragon Man, Skull, Dumbfounds, Digs Up Doubt on Human Evolution. I'll be doing that one next week. Where do you get a load of Dragon Man? Ooh, he was ugly. Very ugly. A little something about possessions. We're going to save those, though. It's good to have you guys back. Nobody complained about me taking a week off. That was nice. 4th of July. Had a lot of fireworks in the driveway. What's not to love? All right, termites, that's it. Go out there. It's still summer. Have fun. I would not recommend this Burger King sandwich. I just can't do it. No. Uh-uh. Especially when I know they have a Burger King burger back there.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's trying to do chicken. I don't know why the mad rush, but it's really not done that well. That's all I got for you, termites. Ready?